Genesis chapter number 5. Let's stand if you've got your place in your Bible. We'll read the text and then we'll preach our heart and mind, our time, okay? Genesis chapter number 5, verse number 18. We'll start reading. The Bible said, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Would you help us pray? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the singing that's been sung, the songs that have exalted the Savior. Thank you for the preaching that's already been done this morning. But Father, I pray God now that you'd help us, Lord, to preach to what you put on our heart in these days. I pray God you'd help us, Lord, and with power and an unction of the Holy Ghost to proclaim the Word of God. God, there's somebody here no doubt need help, and no doubt the message already has been preached about our unbelief. I pray God we take that and apply it to our life. But God, now the message you put on our heart, I pray you'd help us deliver it in the way that you'd have us do it this morning, that we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We come to Genesis chapter 5 in our Bible, and it's almost like walking through a graveyard. Walk through Genesis chapter 5, you read a story about a man named Seth who had a son named Enos and lived some years, had more sons and daughters, and died. Then you read about Enos, and he had lived some years, had a son named Canaan, lived some more years, had some more kids, and died. And then the story keeps going like that, on and on and on through Seth and Enos and Canaan, Mahalalel. And then we get to a man named Jared, and Jared's life was just similar. He lived some years, had a son named Enoch, lived longer, had more children, and died. But we get to verse number 22, and we find out about this man named Enoch, and there was something different about Enoch's life. In verse 21, his story starts the same as his father and grandfathers before him. He lived 65 years and begot a son named Methuselah. And then it seems like, well, that seems like everybody else. It seems like he's living the same old life as everybody else. But verse 22 tells us that Enoch did not just live and die, but the Bible said he walked with God. And then we know the story tells us at the end he did not die, but God took him. Amen. And there's a picture there that I don't want to get to this morning, but I want to say that Enoch had maybe a second mile kind of spirit, if you will. Somewhere along Enoch's life, he decided, I want more from God in my life. Somewhere in Enoch's 65 years of living, something hit him that I do not want to just live and die. I do not just want a grave marker on my name that just says, well, he lived, had kids, and died. I want my life to count for something. I want to be able to look back on my life and say, I did something for God. And the Bible said that Enoch walked with God. I just want to remind you something about this crowd in Genesis chapter 5, that Enoch is the only one mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in that great hall of faith. I mean, seven generations we read about in this chapter, and none of them make the hall of faith. Because may I say by way of introduction, if you just live and die, young people, if you just live and die, old people, if that's all you ever do, you'll never make the hall of faith in God's book. Now, you say, well, I don't care about making that, well, then turn me off, because this ain't going to help you. But I want to do something for God. Amen. I want my life to count for God. Hey, my friend, I'm not worried about it being in lights. I'm not even worried about being on that marble stone there on White Graves Road. But my friend, I do want God to look at me and say, that's a man, that's a boy, that's lived for me and walked with me and has made an impact on his generation. And so we see the second mile walk with Enoch. If we look at Enoch's life, the second mile walk of Enoch's life, if you will, just a few things and I'll sit down and get out of the way. If you're going to walk with God in this day and hour we're living in, if you're going to go the second mile with God in the day and hour we live in, number one, you're going to have an encounter with God. Amen. He had an encounter with God. He had an encounter of salvation. That's point number one. Amen. You got to be saved. Amen. I know it blows your mind, and yeah, that's real deep and stuff, but hey, before you can ever go on with God, you must be born again. Amen. We're living in an hour where many people are trying to serve God, and they've never been truly born again. We've got a lot of people sitting on the pew sometimes that are trying in the effort of the flesh to turn over new leaves and to try to do something good with their life, but yet they have never truly been born again. But I believe somewhere along in Enoch's life, he was born again. I believe his life was changed. I personally believe it was during the time that his wife was carrying Methuselah, or maybe even at the day that Methuselah was born, because in 65 years, we don't read of anything special in his life. But after Methuselah was born, the Bible tells us that's when he began to walk with God. You know when you'll begin to walk with God, young person or old person alike, is when you get born again. Amen. Keep turning over a new leaf and the wind will blow and turn it back over. You keep trying to do good works and some circumstance in your life will keep you from doing those good works. But my friend, you get born from above. You get born again. Or if you're saved, my friend, then you can walk with God. He had an encounter of salvation, but then he had an encounter of separation. Amen. I know that's not popular preaching that we're living in, but I know the crowd I'm in, and I know we believe in it around here. A separation, amen. Now I say this about separation. It is unto God first, and then from this world. Amen. Goes right there. Listen, I look at Genesis chapter 5, and I was two crowds that Enoch had to separate himself from. Number one, he saw the crowd of his family. Seth's family, you know this better than I do, that it's the godly line. We call it a lot of time the godly line of Seth. These were godly men. These were men that obviously lived for God. I don't know what they did, but the Bible says after Seth had Enos, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. These men obviously had a good testimony. We read nothing bad about their life, but these men were simply existing men. Are you listening? These men just simply existed. They lived and they died. They did nothing spectacular with their life for God. They did nothing out of the ordinary for God. They did not necessarily walk by faith necessarily. They just existed. And you know what Enoch had to do? He had to separate from that crowd. You know, it's easy just to go with the flow. It's easy just to go in the same routine. It's easy just to exist. It's easy just to coast by. It's easy just to exist. But my friend, if you're ever going to do something for God, you're going to have to separate yourself from this just existing world. You're going to have to separate yourself from that crowd. It may be family. It may be friends. It may be church members. But you're going to have to separate yourself from that crowd and not just simply exist. You're going to have to go against the grain sometimes walking with God. You have to go against the flow a lot of times. And Enoch said, I do not just want to exist. I want to go on for God. And he had to separate from that existing man. Then there's another crowd in Genesis chapter 4 we read about. The same time that Enoch's living, there's another crowd that's living. Oh, Uncle Cain was having kids too. And Uncle Cain was having kids, and we call that the ungodly line. Amen. From Adam. And old Cain's crowd, old Cain's family, as the crowd that's building large buildings, they're building large cities. The first rock band we read about in Genesis chapter 4, and they're playing the rock music. I believe those artificers are making pagan gods out of metal, and they're worshiping their false gods, and they've got their worship going on of their buildings. They're worshiping their gods. They're worshiping the things they can do. But my friend, these were not existing men, but these were evil men. A Cain's line was an evil bunch of men. I'll say this, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but Genesis chapter 4, we go seven generations down from Cain, and you find a man named Lamech. Now, Enoch is the seventh generation from Adam through the line of Seth, but Lamech is not Noah's father, Lamech, another crowd. Cain's go through Cain, the seventh generation is a man named Lamech. And my friend, I believe it comes to maybe a climax of evil days, and Lamech's there in that seventh generation. Here's an interesting fact about Lamech. Lamech's the first man in our Bible had two wives at the same time. Amen. And my friend, God allowed some things in the Old Testament that he was not for. Somebody say amen. And God's plan in the garden was one man, one woman, one life. Amen. 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 And here's what Lamech said. God, I don't care what you said about marriage. I don't care what you said about one wife. I don't know why a man will want two wives at the same time. So all the men said amen. But he said, I don't care what you said about it. I'm going to have two anyway. Amen. He said, I don't care what you say about marriage. I'm going to do what I want to. Is that not the day and hour that we're living in? Hey, listen, it's not just going on out there in the world. It's happening on the church pew. Men and women are saying, I don't care what God has to say about it. I don't care what you think about it, God. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what makes me happy. Can't you just love anybody? Isn't that the cry of this hour that we're living in? Hey, it's not just the sodomite movement, God, that's messing up marriage, my friend. The whole idea of marriage has been turned twisted evil in this hour that we're living in. But I thank God, God intended marriage to be one man, one woman for life. And my friend, God's perfect design is still perfect in 2017. Amen. He had to separate from that evil crowd. But not only Lamech was the man, the first man had two living wives, but he's the second man in our Bible to commit murder. The first man we read in our Bible is Cain. Lamech goes kill a man. This was Lamech's attitude about it. God, if you forgave Cain, you ought to forgive me. He wasn't crying for mercy. He wasn't saying, oh, God, if you forgave Cain, would you surely forgive me? No, no, no. He said, oh, if you'll forgive Cain, you'll forgive me. Oh, if you'll give him a pass, you'll give me a pass. If you'll show grace to him, you've got to show it to me. And this one says, God, I don't care what you say about marriage, and I don't care what you say about murder. His whole family said, I don't care what you say about music. I don't care what you say about worship. Lord, we don't care. We're going to do what we want to do. And Enoch said, I got to get away from that crowd. I got to stay away from that crowd. I've got to separate. Hey, he had to separate unto God from that existing crowd, but he had to separate from the world, of that evil crowd. And listen, if you're going to go the second mile this year, if you're going to do something for God in your life, there are going to be some people. It may be family, friends, or foe, but you're going to have to separate from them. You're going to walk a different walk, friend. You're going to have to go a different way. And listen, you have to have an encounter with God if you're going to go a second mile with God. But then here's the preaching, I'm done. Experience. He had an experience with God. He had an experience with God. Number one, he experienced the presence of God. Notice your Bible, Enoch, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. Chapter verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. I know some people that have walked for God. Thank God for them. But Enoch didn't just walk for God. He walked with him. The idea here in this phrase is that every day that Enoch got up, he put his sandals on, he girded his loins and grabbed his rod. He said, all right, God, where are we going today? Every day. The Bible didn't say just for a couple days. He didn't say for just a day or 21 days or 30 days. He said for 300 years, Enoch walked with God. Every day for 300 years, Enoch got up and said, all right, God, where do you want me to go? All right, God, where are we going today? Where are we walking to today? And every day he experienced the presence of God. You know, the great indictment on the church of 2017 is that we have a crowd, a generation that knows nothing about the presence of God in their life. I'm talking about they have seen it on other people. They have read books about everybody else, and they have thought maybe we've been in an emotional service. We've been in the presence of God. But I'm talking about knowing personally the presence of God in your life. I'm talking about when you go to your secret place and realize that he is precious in secret and that he is there and he's with you and he wants to walk with you. Do you realize this morning that God wants a personal walk with you? I can't imagine a God like God wanting to have anything to do with me. But you realize, I think about the Song of Solomon in chapter number 2 in verse 14. Talks about how the bridegroom tells, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. because of her sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. Y'all realize this morning that God is there in the throne room and wanting to see us and wanting to hear from us. I mean, it's amazing to me that he would even invite us into his presence. It blows my mind that he would command us to come into his presence. I mean, it fathoms me that he would allow us into his presence. But what gets me every time is the thing, he is longing for a prayer for us to come into his presence. He wants to experience the presence with us, and we ought to desire that presence with him. I'm talking about, do you know anything about the presence of God in your life? Do you know? Have you met with him this morning? You say, yeah, we're here, ain't we? No. I mean, before we came, before the 10 o'clock hour came, have you met with God? If we're going to go the second mile, we can have the programs right and the plans right. But if we don't have the presence of God, we'll never make it. Got to have the presence of God in our life. He walked with God, but then he experienced the peace of God in his life. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How could they walk together? How could Enoch and God walk together except they be agreed? I mean, if they had anything between one another, it would have been Enoch's fault, right? It wouldn't have been God's fault. And if Enoch had anything wrong in his heart, he could not have walked with God. Oh, no, he could not have got up that morning. He would not have got up and jumped out of the bed and said, all right, God, where we're going, if he had anything between him. He had experienced the peace of God in his life. Oh, yes, I'm talking about, listen, we need the reason a lot of us are not experiencing the presence of God is because we don't have the peace of God in our life. We've got those hidden sins that we still not confess to him. Y'all realize there's a beautiful verse in 1 John 1:9. We quote it a lot, but we use it little. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But a lot of us will hold it in and we'll wait till God has to pry it out of us. But my friend, if we'll keep a clear account with God and we can experience the peace of God in our life. Experienced the presence of God, but that's I'm done. He experienced the pleasure of God in his life. If you take your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11, we'll read in Hebrews chapter 11, Enoch had an experience with God. He had the presence of God in his life. I say if there's anything you need to seek after, if you've been saved, you need to seek the presence of God in your life. I'm talking about every single day of your life. It'd be good if you woke up every morning and said, all right, God, where are we going today? All right, God, what do you want me to wear today? All right, God, how do you want me to go about my day today? God, what is it you want for me to do today? God, what is it? What is the will of God for my life today? Not just 5 years from now or 10 years from now. What do you want from me today, God? The presence of God, the peace of God. But then notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5, he says, but by faith, Enoch was translated. I could preach about the exit of Enoch, amen. That we're going to exit out of here one day. But that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Watch this. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. This is not Enoch talking about himself. This is not even Enoch's children talking about him. But thousands of years later, God says, Paul, now if you think somebody else wrote Hebrews, you can be wrong about a lot of other things. But he says, Paul, I want you to write a chapter about faith. And Paul, I want you to write down some men and women who had faith in their life. And Paul, I want you to mention Enoch and tell about him being translated. But Paul, I want you to make sure one thing you put in there about Enoch. Make sure everybody that ever reads this book, I want them to know one thing about Enoch, that he pleased me. That he pleased me. I wonder today, this morning, if God was to write a book and had my name in it, if he could write before he was translated, if I go by rapture, or before he died, Will Allen had a testimony that he pleased God. I wonder if God wrote your name in a book today. Could he write beside your name? Could he tell whoever it was, write, make sure you let everybody know they pleased me. Well, how can we please him? By faith, the Bible says in verse number 6, it's simple. It seems simple. It ties in right to the message this morning. It seems like it should be simple, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. How did he please him? He pleased him by faith. He pleased him by believing God. God, help our unbelief. God, help our faith. Hey, listen, I'm going to go the second mile with God
First, you're going to have that encounter. If you're not saved, you must be born again. If you're not separated, you need to separate unto God this morning. You better do that first. You better do it first. Separate unto God first, and then from this world. But you better have. What about that experience with God? Do you have the presence of God in your life? Oh, well, I've seen them shouting. I mean, y'all are. I mean, yeah, we're in the presence of God right now. No, I mean, personally. Do you have the presence of God in your life? Do you have the peace of God in your life? And do you please God with your life? Where's your life at this morning? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity now. Thank you for this meeting. God, I pray you touch your word. Use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name.